I'm going to put up on the screen a statement. I want you to consider it for a few seconds, and then I want to take a poll and see how many agree with it or disagree with it. And probably I'll call on someone to give an explanation as to why they agree or disagree with it. So here we go. Here's the statement. Nothing is as important in life as accomplishing the will of God. I hear one disagree. Okay, how many of you disagree with that statement? Nope. That would ruin the whole thing. A couple, okay, since you were the vocal leader. Okay, how many agree with the statement? No one agrees with it. Well, ask your since the poll has been completed.
Nobody trusts you, Pastor. Sorry.
What was your question?
Accomplishing the will of God, does that include knowing Christ as Savior? Because
well, that's part of the will of God, isn't it? The key to the whole thing is this word as. If I had put up there, nothing is more important than accomplishing the will of God, the answer would have been, I agree with that. But nothing is as important, meaning of the same importance. And Becky, knowing the will of God is necessary before one can accomplish it. Therefore, knowing the will of God is just as important as accomplishing it. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So they are of equal importance. Now, just getting down to details here. It is important to know the will of God, but if you don't accomplish it, it's no good. But if you don't know what the will of God is, there's no chance of accomplishing it. So they are of equal importance. The question then behooves us to know, how do we know with absolute certainty what is the will of God in any activity of life? Tonight we want to look at Luke chapter 1 and pick up where we left off this morning. The angel Gabriel has come to Mary. He's announced to her that she's going to conceive a son, and that son is going to receive the throne of his father David and rule the earth. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? It was very important to Mary to know not just the what of God's will, but the how. In fact, I would say to you tonight, the will of God has at least three crucial elements to it. Who, what, how, when, and where. Three of them are crucial, and I believe they are the first three there. It's absolutely crucial to know who is in the will of God for every particular event. If I say to my wife, and I'm going to put myself in the place of God here, Carol, my will for you is to do this. And Glenn is sitting over there and says, well, he told Carol this. Maybe I should do it too. And he decides to do that. I never told Glenn to do that. The who is important. The what is obviously important. And the how of it. And this is Mary's question here. Now, sometimes the where can be important. Sometimes the when can be very important. But not always the case. Here, in the story, we've already been given the who and the what. Mary, as we ended this morning, is talked to by Gabriel, and he says to her, verse 31, thou shalt conceive. So there's the who. The where is in thy womb. And the what is, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And the rest of the two verses there, verses 32 and 33, deal with the person of Jesus and not necessarily God's will for Mary. But the how of this has not been disclosed to her as of yet. And she has a very legitimate question here, saying, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? Before she would consent to accomplishing the will of God, it was absolutely necessary, vital to her, to know the how of God's will. And I would say to you, before you proceed to attempt to accomplish the will of God, don't do it until all the applicable elements have been defined biblically. Now, she could have just stopped right there and said, okay, I'm going to conceive. Well, the normal process of conception is this, and gone out outside the will of God, and conceived in her womb and brought forth a son. Problem is, it wouldn't have been within the will of God, nor could it accomplish the purposes of God. So it's absolutely vital for her to find out the how. May I say to you, excuse me, if there are some things about the will of God that you are not certain of, as to the who, as to the what, as to the how, maybe the where or the when, don't attempt to accomplish it until they are defined biblically. Well, the angel then proceeds to tell her, verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Here we have the direct word. Remember, as I said this morning, the angel was the messenger of God, so he's bringing the word of God to her. And notice how he says it. He says, not just the Spirit shall overshadow thee, but the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. How many times have you heard a person say, well, the Spirit moved me to do this? And they may be speaking accurately. But I think there's a reason the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. Because everything that the Spirit of God does is consistent with the Word of God. And that's why he's also called the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of God never leads anybody to do anything contrary to the Word of God. Some time ago, I heard a person tell me about something that they were considering. And they were saying, well, the Spirit moved me to do this. Long time ago, I had a charismatic buddy. And we got talking about different things. And he was saying about how the Spirit would move him to do certain things. And I said to him, his name was Jesse. I said, Jesse, it was a winter day. I said, you see that guy standing over there across the street? Suppose the Word of God said, thou shalt not throw snowballs. For in the day thou throws a snowball, you should go immediately to hell. Now, obviously, the Scripture doesn't say that, but suppose that that was absolutely clear. Would the Spirit of God tell you to pick up a snowball and throw it at that fellow? And he said, yes, if it would get him saved. And I said, you're an idiot. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of God can never, ever violate the Word of God. Turn back with me, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 18, one of my favorite Old Testament passages. Second Chronicles chapter 18. The situation is this. Jehoshaphat, the godly king of Judah, has gone into league with Ahaz, the ungodly king of the northern tribes of Israel. They are fighting the Syrians. And they want to go out to war, but Jehoshaphat says, before we go out to war, I need to know with absolute certainty if it's the will of God that we do this, which is a good thing. Well, Ahab says, I have all these prophets here, and they all agree. And he calls on one of them, verse 26, if I left my notes at home, if I would have brought it, I would have had it here this evening. That's not it. Verse 10. And Zedekiah, the son of Shenaanah, made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king. And the messengers that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. And here's my life's verse. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. He comes and Jehoshaphat and Ahaz ask him, okay, what's the deal here? Do we go up or do we stay and hold off on fighting these guys? And Micaiah speaks correctly. Ultimately, he speaks correctly. First, he speaks facetiously because they wanted, Ahaz and his prophets wanted to hear what they wanted to hear and nothing else. But he spoke it in such a way that they realized he was mocking them. So he gets quite specific. And verse 19, and the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spoke after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit that stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. I want you to know that all these prophets, even though they all said the same thing, are all lying to you. Imagine if you were Shedeiah, the son of Zedekiah, and you were standing up and you were saying, this is what God said. Do you think he was too happy with Micaiah? Verse 23, then Zedekiah, the son of Shenaanah, I had the backwards there, came near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord for me to speak to thee? Look, I was moved by the Spirit of God to say these things. Which way did he go to tell you to go the opposite direction? Zedekiah honestly believed he was speaking according to the Spirit of God. But it was a false spirit. And I submit to you that the heart of a child of God, the Spirit of God never leaves. And sometimes, even the child of God can be confused about the truth. Secondly, the heart of the child of God can mislead him concerning the will of God. One of the things we often do, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, is when we're making a decision about the will of God, we say, well, I prayed about it, and the Lord gave me a peace. And that's good. The peace of God can confirm the will of God. It, however, can never determine the will of God. Not too long ago, I had someone say to me, I prayed about this action, and the Lord gave me a peace about it. And it was in direct violation of what the New Testament says believers should be doing. That peace was a humanly generated peace Turn over a few pages to Jeremiah chapter 23. The situation is this. Once again, we have prophets. Jeremiah being the true one, and a bunch of old prophets that said what the king wanted to hear. Jeremiah had been prophesying for a lot of time that because of the sin of the nation, the Babylonians were coming and Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. The other prophets were saying, no, that's not the case. We're going to have peace because after all, we are the children of God. After all, God is for us, so who can be against us? And all the kinds of things like that. Verse 20. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. And that's the whole problem. They dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. And we think about the will of God sometimes and we say, this is what I really, really want. And we convince ourselves then that it has to be the will of God without checking if it conforms to the Word of God. Jeremiah says, if they would have stood in my counsel, there would have been no confusion at all about this. Sometimes that's what we need to do. And when we check out things biblically, when we get all the elements, the who, the what, the where, the when, the how, answered biblically, we can be certain that we know exactly what the will of God is. Well, that's what Mary got here. The angel said, okay, we've given you the who, we've given you the what. Here's the how. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, not interested in doing anything less than holiness, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. So now we have the who, we have the what, we have the how. But man, how in the world can God do that? The Spirit of God gives her a little extra assurance. And it's this, when the will of God is concerned with the necessity of the miraculous, be certain that God has accomplished his will by similar means in others. Gabriel says to her, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Understand that the nothing there is nothing within the will of God is impossible. But there are some things that God cannot do. God can never violate the promises that he's made. God can never lie. God promised us that he would never again destroy the entirety of the earth with a flood. Is God capable of creating another universal flood? Yes, except that he promised he wouldn't do it. So in that case, he is incapable of doing it. Here we have a promise that's given to her of God doing something of similar nature, and that encouraged her. Sometimes we need to be encouraged when we recognize whatever is going to be done will just about require a miracle. God is not incapable of doing miracles today. But that doesn't necessarily mean that God is always going to do a miracle. Sometimes we have to accept the fact that God isn't just in the business of doing miracles at our whim. But this time he was. Now notice the last verse here, verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. When all the applicable elements of God's will have been defined, do not deviate from them. Mary said, "I am willing to do the will of God because it is of the utmost importance, but only under these circumstances, according to thy word." Now that we have that defined, we'll stay within those parameters. And in so doing, we'll accomplish the will of God, which is the most important act of mankind. But if we don't get it right, it's worthless. Is doing the will of God, I stated that wrong. I should go back to it. I should put the slide up there from the beginning. Is there anything as important as doing the will of God? Yes, knowing it, but then doing it as well. I hope you'll make wise decisions in accomplishing the will of God, that you might know in any act what God's will is. And be obedient unto it. You will not make a bad decision doing that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the testimony of Mary tonight. May her heart in knowing and accomplishing the will of God be the heart that we have of doing the same. And in the same manner as you did miraculous things through her, Lord, do great and wonderful things through us as we yield ourselves to your will. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Have a good week. Amen.